Chapter 6, Section 3, Lot.
The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. Genesis 19, 1a.
The Bible says that Lot was a righteous man. Lot had traveled with Abraham and had been part of some of the most remarkable revelations and deliverances performed by the sovereign God. Lot knew what it was to put his faith in God's word, to truly believe. The Bible says that Lot sat in the city gate. Only citizens with status had that privilege, but Lot wasn't comfortable with the lifestyle in Sodom.
Lot, a righteous man, who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. 2 Peter 2:7 and 8.
Lot may have been distressed by the sin, but apparently he had become a successful man, and so he justified his presence there. He probably felt that the city wasn't doing him any harm. Then the angels showed up.
When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. "My lords," he said, "please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning." "No," they answered, "we will spend the night in the square." But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Genesis 19, 1b through 3.
Perhaps Lot noticed something different about these strangers. We must remember that when God came to Abraham, he appeared as a man. The angels had come in the same form. Whatever the case, Lot invited them into his home and prepared a meal. No doubt this invitation was part of the famous Eastern hospitality, but one can't help wondering if Lot felt uneasy for these two innocent-looking outsiders. He had good reason to be concerned.
Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them." Genesis 19, 4 and 5.
The men of Sodom wanted to have sex with Lot's visitors. Actually, it would have been rape, homosexual rape. The gripping thing about the record of events is that the Bible says both the young and old were present. They came from every quarter, every age. Every part of the city was corrupt. It is also notable that their desires were shouted in the streets. Sin was a public affair in Sodom. It apparently expected no objections, tweaked no conscience, caused no red faces. Sodom's leisure time had produced a healthy crop of degenerates. All were either participants or acquiescent. Well, not all. Lot was embarrassed and wished they would be quiet.
Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, "No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof." Genesis 19:6 through 8.
Lot, in desperation, made an almost unbelievable attempt to rescue his guests from abuse. Even allowing for the exaggerated hospitality customs of the time, it is beyond comprehension that Lot could offer his virgin daughters to the men to do with them whatever they wished. Lot may have felt that the city wasn't affecting his righteous soul, but here is hard evidence that he had drifted precariously. Granted, the fact that Lot even had two virgin daughters in the city shows that he had a moral influence on them. And it seems he may have taken a stand in the city against the blatant sin. But Lot's ability to judge right from wrong had been compromised by the daily bombardment of moral depravity. It may be that Lot had begun to suspect who his guests were, and in a last-ditch effort to save them from harm's way, threw all caution to the wind. "How about my virgin daughters?" he said.
"Get out of our way," they replied. And they said, "This fellow came here as an alien, and now he wants to play the judge. We'll treat you worse than them." They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door.
Lot's offer only angered the aroused men. Their passions were aflame, and accustomed to getting their own way, they turned on Lot. They would rape Lot.
But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so that they could not find the door.
If Lot had any suspicions about who his guests were, his doubts vanished. He now knew for sure that his two visitors were of heavenly origin, sent from God. Only divine intervention could have saved him.
The two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, "Hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city." But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. Genesis 19:9-14.
God in his grace gave Lot time to warn his family, those who were most likely to respond. Unfortunately, Abraham's hopes that Lot would influence others to turn to God never materialized. Lot had been much more concerned about being socially acceptable than jeopardizing his business relations by talking to people about their sin. Even when he tried to warn those who were closest to him, they looked at him as if he were joking. Lot had lost his credibility along with his conscience.
With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah, from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. Genesis 19:15-25.
There weren't even 5 believing souls in Sodom and Gomorrah. God had said he would judge the sin of the two cities, and he had kept his word. God always does. The judgment was so complete that the ground was devastated. It couldn't grow anything. Considering that archaeologists placed the destroyed city somewhere beneath the south end of the Dead Sea, this would not be an overstatement. The Dead Sea is well named for little, if anything, grows in the area even today.
So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. Genesis 19:29.
Lot, though his life had been compromised by sin, still obeyed God's word to flee the city, and as a result, he survived. He had been rescued, but at great cost. He lost all his family except for his two daughters. Sin has its consequences. Abraham had found God to be a God of love. Lot was confronted with a God of judgment. Both men were considered righteous, but each saw God in a different light. Often our view of God has a lot to do with where we stand in our relationship with him. In our minds, of the two men, Lot was certainly the least deserving of any sort of love or consideration. Nonetheless, both men experienced God's grace, God's undeserved kindness. God's grace extends much further than we can ever understand. It is God's mercy and grace that gives man hope. Our religious society puts a big emphasis on God being a God of love. We emphasize love because we do not like thinking about God punishing people. In a sense, we mold God into our idea of how we want Him to be. We are like Abraham, telling God how to be God. The result is not a God of love, but a God of sentimental mush. The Bible says God is indeed a God of love, but He is also a God of justice. He does judge sin. He will punish those who go their own way. The lake of fire was prepared as a place of judgment for Satan and his demons, but the Bible says God will send man there too, if man ignores Him and follows Satan in his rebellion. God's attributes of love and justice are perfectly balanced, equal. His justice demands that He judge the sinner, but His love causes Him to provide the sinner a way to escape that judgment. That's mercy.